Hendricks, Peters, and Wolf.
I don't meet with those guys till the afternoon, so I haven't met with Dews and those guys, so I do not have an update right now.
You heard anything?
I don't have an update, so you can ask me again if you want.
Do you have an update on?
Thank you.
Do you play differently if you don't have Kendrick in terms of RTP? Or do you just stay with
him? We don't have any information right now, so everybody's in the process. Monday's a big breakdown day. We start getting meetings going this afternoon, so I'll meet with Dews and Doc when I get back inside. So
how big is it when you have Barbary playing a lot more than he has? You have Good playing more than he has. You have Rock playing more than he has, and really those guys all kind of came in and did,
and it's a credit to those guys, you know. And I think really Najee and Rock weren't here. You know, they weren't here in the off season. They weren't here in camp. We acquired them in September, so. You know, to kind of see those guys get put in a situation that they did and to respond. I thought Rock did an outstanding job playing out there. Najee played really, really well. You know, I should have had a pick six. But, you know, to see those guys, I think it speaks to the depth a little bit. You know, obviously we were tested, but I thought Allen played really, really well when he was in there. So to have all those guys be able to contribute and step up is kind of what this league's all about, because everybody's facing injuries at this point in time during the season. You're 10 weeks in, and really your depth is going to be tested. But when we had an opportunity to get those guys in the game, I thought they responded really well. And it's hopefully we'll be getting the other guys back, and it'll just add to, you know, kind of the overall team itself. So.
I get that you don't have a medical update. You haven't talked to the staff about it yet. But on the flight home, did you talk to these three guys? I mean, did you get any sense of?
Yeah, that's one thing. They feel like they're pretty good and they're ready to go. But you know, it's the same thing. I mean, we've dealt with it. That's why I'm not going to make statements, because you know, we thought Pat's was going to be a week or two deal, and then that lingered. You know, I thought Mike's was going to be a short deal, and you know, that's gone on. So, and I'm not an expert, so I just defer to those guys. I always defer to the doctors and training staff. Tell us how long they're in, how long they're out. You know, sometimes they look a little bit worse than they are. So, you know, Michael said he felt good, didn't think there was anything big time wrong with him, but we'll see. You know, I think, you know, Jason said he's going to play. But every time Jason said anything, he's told me he's going to play. But the one thing about Jason is he has played. You know, he hasn't missed any time since I've been here. So, you know, I really don't have that. Now we meet, and that's kind of our schedule every Monday afternoon.
Speaking
so,
of Vic, I don't know if you know if he's going to be able to practice.
I don't think he'll go. He'll try to test it. He ran. You know, I watched him. He got a good workout in yesterday at Lambeau, running around a little bit. He says it feels better. He will not be full tomorrow. You know, we'll see what we can get a feel for what he can do and what he can't do, but I know he won't be full tomorrow. So,
Chip, have you talked to Pat Shurmur about what he did or did not see on that 36-yard?
Yeah, I talked to all those guys. You know, they said they got one clip up in the box. They saw both feet down, couldn't really tell where the elbow was, and then they were snapping the ball and going. So, you know, what our coaches see in the box isn't what everybody sees on national television. So it's just what's available to them then, and there was really no discussion after that. I know Todd Light, I talked to Todd about it. I talked to Billy Davis about it, you know, and that's all we got, and that's what we went on. So,
anything needs to be changed in terms of how you're going about with the replays?
They got one replay, so that's whatever they fed into. According to my guys up there, they got one look at it. So and that's all they can go off of. So.
Looking back upon it, was he in or out?
It's tough on the coach's copy. You know, I think it looks like the elbow may have hit before, but you know, we weren't privy to all those other. According to those guys up there, they weren't privy to all those other looks at it. So.
So do you know what feed do they get? It's not the TV.
I don't know. I don't know what feed they get. I don't know what feed they get.
In getting back to Kendricks and Wolf, in camp you knew the day of when three guys tore their ACL. Are these not ACLs from what you heard after the game yesterday?
Yeah, that's my understanding, but I'm not going to make any statements on whether they are or aren't. So.
How big, much as you like to push the tempo, how much did you appreciate that final drive where you can – certainly invoke your will on a team knowing that they have no ability to stop you?
Yeah, I don't think they had no ability to stop us, but that's part of being a sound offense. And I've said that since day one. You have to be a good two-minute offense. You have to be a good four-minute offense. And, again, I think there's a lot of misconceptions about what we want to do. We want to win football games. We did the same thing against Tampa Bay and ran the clock out. You know, we were fortunate enough to do it with 9 minutes and 32, take the ball over. You either want to score in that situation or you want to run as much clock as you possibly can. And, you know, I think it's credit to the backs, credit to the quarterback, and really to the offensive line and the tight ends in that situation.
Did you have Jerry Williams jumping from side to side? I think typically he stays on one side. Did you have?
He played a couple times. There were some things in just certain calls, but it wasn't an entire game plan thing.
Did you guys play off the receivers a little more than normal?
It depends on what Billy's calling. You know, there's certain calls where they're playing press. There's certain calls where they're playing up. You know, I think it's just kind of how they're doing it. I think a lot of what they were trying to do is we were putting so many guys in the box. Really, their only option was to get the ball out wide. So
there was another play you guys could have challenged on the completion where the ball was kind of fumbled forward and everything. I mean, did you guys not challenge it because you thought he had the first down anyway? Was that?
Yeah, that was when the little discussion that we had. You know, we talk about them all the time in between plays of what we can do and what we can't do. So we felt like he had the first down. So
what stood out with Nick on tape when you reviewed it?
Again, I think Nick's really, really smart with the football. You know, very rarely do you see Nick throw a ball where all of a sudden it's tipped, you know, when it's almost intercepted. You know, I think going the other way, our defense, there's a couple times we probably should have made some more plays defensively on the ball and didn't. But you don't see that out of Nick. I think he has a really good understanding of what we're doing. He doesn't really ever put the ball in harm's way. And most of the time, and to his credit, he's going to the right spot where it should be. You know, he does a good job of protecting the football, especially when the pocket breaks down. A lot of times that's where, you know, plays occur where all of a sudden it's turning a bad play into a worse play. You know, sometimes the right thing to do is just kind of pull it down and let's get the next snap off. And I think that's what he's done. He's a real, real good decision maker. Again, I've said it since day one. He's a better athlete than people think. He picked up a couple critical first downs for us again in that football game because he can make good decisions. So we're just really happy with how he's played in the last 2 weeks.
Peter Murray continues to get more snaps. Is it because you need that pass rushing presence, or is he just getting better at the two-gapping and stopping?
I think he's getting better at just overall run defense. And, again, I think that's a misconception. We don't two-gap on every play, I think. But in the run game itself, you know, I think Vinny's starting to get better and better, and it was his best game against the run this week. I think all those guys on the defensive front, Fletcher Cox, Benny Logan probably played his best game. Said played up to his standard, which has been pretty high. Vinny played really well, you know, I think. And again, we knew going into the game with a backup quarterback and then going to the third quarterback, shutting down their run game was going to be extremely important to us. And it started up front, and I thought all of those guys did a really good job. But Vinny has really come along. Credit to him. You know, he's getting better and better, and with that, he's getting more playing time.
With Nick's running, I mean, he's not the fastest guy, but he seems to have a good knack of when to do it, when not to do it, where to go. Mm-hmm. I mean, how unusual is that for a guy who's not fleet of foot to kind of get positive yards in those situations?
Yeah, I think the thing with Nick is he may not be fleet of foot, but he's fleet of mind. You know, he's a really, really, really good decision maker. And part of being a guy that can distribute the football, throwing the ball, being a good decision maker is the same exact situations in the run game. You have to be a good decision maker is to know when to give it and to know when to pull it. And again, not every play we call is his own read play, but when they're called and he can be a factor, I think it's a, you know, really just taking advantage of what the defense is. If they're going to all commit and try to take away the running back and no one's responsible for the quarterback, you got to be able to make them pay, and Nick has done that for us. So
there were times you ran with McCoy, even though the box had, you know, seven guys in it up. Is that you have to be committed? It can't just be just because the math says that there's less guys on the outside, you pass all the time?
No, because a lot of time we got a lot more man-free, so the math outside wasn't right either because it was a man for a man. So, you know, usually there's an overhang player that we're going to read or we're just going to let run because even if he does fall in, and it happened a lot, they're going to fall in for gains of five. We'll take gains of five if we can. So,
Alan Noble,
Barb isn't a huge left tackle for size. Where does he get his – is it like he's got a great center of strength? Is he a good technician? Is that why he's
– combination of both. He's a really, really strong football player. You know, he's got – pop. He's got real heavy hands, as Coach Stout likes to say, and he's really good at technique. And I think he really came along during camp for us, you know. And when we were talking about, you know, obviously Dennis got hurt and was down for a little bit. Where are we at the tackle spot now? Alan was playing really well at guard. You know, let's take a look at him and see what he can do because he is such a good athlete. And I think, you know, having his ability to be at both swing guard and tackle for us, and really our first guy off the bench for us, was a huge plus for us. And then to watch him play, I thought he did a really, really good job in his first extended playing time. Was really solid in protection, you know, kind of helped us get to the edge a lot when we were running to the left. So really happy with him. But a lot of it is he's a real good technician, but he's a real strong football player. Probably just not as tall as some of the left tackles out there, but really happy with how we played.
How has Dennis Kelly come along? He hasn't had a chance to play the game yet. So.
Yeah, Dennis is getting better. You know, the tough part in this league is, you know, with only a 46-man active roster, we're only going to be able to keep really seven guys up, you know, unless there's an injury. So, you know, Alan for us is kind of a guard tackle guy, and Julian's is kind of a center guard guy. You know, and from a depth standpoint, that's kind of where we are. But I think he's coming along. He's out there every single day working, and I think he's you know, getting better each week, and that's the positive. It's just right now you hope you don't have to get to him because that means the starting five and the other two guys are healthy.
So Lane looked like he played a fairly good game, and you had said that you thought Oakland was his best game. Is this two best back-to-back?
No, I wouldn't say that. Okay. No, I thought he played really well in the Oakland game. I thought he pass-pro'd really well on Sunday, but, you know, we still got some work in the run game, and he knows that.
When all the stuff with Riley went down initially, you said that it wasn't something that was going to go away anytime soon. Do you feel like it's gone away?
No, I meant the issue in general. You know, I don't think the issue will ever go away because I think we all had valuable lessons that we can learn from it. You know, Riley, obviously, because he was at the forefront of it, but I also think the guys understanding what he was about and what he was like as a human being in the locker room. So, you know, really my statement was about that issue in general, and it should never go away. I think we should always be aware of it and not brush it under the rug.
He struggled his first five games just getting open, especially man on man.
I don't think he struggled in his first five games getting open. He didn't have the ball thrown to him, but I don't think he was struggling getting open. When you watch the tape, he was open.
What's been the difference for him?
I think we've got more time to throw. We're doing a better job in protection. I think the guy calling plays is calling better plays. So.
On that first touchdown to Cooper, was Nick's throw, was that where he wanted it to be? Did the wind take it, or how?
I think the wind took the first one to Deshaun. You know, it was a lot different coming. It was weird. In the first half, it was hard going down towards the scoreboard end, you know, where we came out of the locker room, the wind was blowing that way, and then it seemed like at halftime it flipped. But I know on the first one it really took it. I think on the second one he saw him beat the safety, but he knew where the safety was, and he was trying to lead him on the other side of the safety, which normally doesn't happen. But, you know, Riley's really, really good at tracking the ball. He's an outstanding baseball player. And kind of when you throw it up, he can make adjustments on it. You haven't seen that much where he ran a post route and then had to make a hard right turn. But I think Nick was trying to get it onto the other side of the safety, even though we beat him, because I didn't think, you know, with the ball in the air that long, if the DB was going to be able to make a play on it, if he could kind of off-throw the DB, offset the throw on the DB, then Riley would have a shot at it. And Riley made a great adjustment to the football.
Nick said he wanted to make a play center field. He was trying to use his baseball skills. I know he was drafted as a baseball player. Is that something that can come in handy on that kind of play?
I think it does. I think he's got, you know, and it's one of his qualities is that he can track a ball when it's in the air and can adjust his body and knows where to go to it and can adjust his angles when he's chasing it down. So I think Nick understands that, and I thought it was a hell of a play by both those guys.
Nick starting the majority of the time over the last month, getting more and more comfortable, obviously, together. What kind of input does he have, you know, with the game plan? Do you ask him what he likes more and stuff like that? What's the dialogue?
Yeah, but that's the same dialogue that goes along all the time. You know, we ask those guys every single week, whether you're 1, 2, or 3, you know, what do you like, what don't you like, what do you like in these situations? We write them all down. We have them with us. We discuss them with them. So that's a process that always goes along with the quarterbacks.
At this point, what, if anything, is keeping you from going with Nick regardless of what's happening?
I think what we've done for the last 2 weeks has worked for us pretty good, so we're going to stick with that formula. I mean, it's got us 16 touchdowns, no interceptions, and 2 wins, so why would we change?
Was Henry Smith's wins because of the wind?
Yeah, it was. You know, when you watch it on tape, he hit it right down the middle. I talked to Alex about it. He thought he had it. We talked to Donnie Jones about it. He said, Coach, I saw it go off his foot. It was heading right down the middle of the goalpost, and then it got pushed, you know, with the wind. Actually, their kicker, I think, had the same exact situation, blew it the same way, so... probably got to make a little bit more adjustment for the wind, but I think he hit it. You know, he hit it pretty good. It just got, when you watch the initial copy, it took off. It was heading down the middle, and then it seemed like it got pushed with the wind. So,
because had Najee kind of crashing scrimmage a lot against the run, looks like he had the snap count time pretty well. He was able to get in there right as the ball was being snapped. For him not to even have that much experience, is that accurate what I'm saying? And did you?
Yeah, I mean, in probably some of the blitz looks, you know, we're always trying to time up our blitzes. I think everybody in the league is, you know, and I think if you can get a beat on it. One of the things about Naj, he's a really sharp kid. I mean, a real smart guy. I think he was an industrial mechanical engineer major. He's got a really good grasp. When he got here, it was one of the first things that struck us. This guy's an intelligent football player. So he, like any other guy, and you can say it, and it can be a cliche, is you're one chin strap away from playing, but do you really approach it that way? And obviously he did. You know, so didn't Allen, so didn't Rock. You know, and when you watched him out here since the first day we got him in September, there was something about him. He's an extremely hard worker. He prepares like a professional. When his opportunity came, he took advantage of it. You know, you can't rely on the, well, you know, I haven't got a ton of reps. You know, that's what the deal is in this league is you're not going to be able to get a ton of reps if you're a backup. And but if you go in, you're responsible for all that stuff. And some guys gravitate toward that a little bit better, and I think he's one of those guys. So I think it's a credit to him on how hard he's worked, even though he doesn't get the predominant amount of snaps. D'Amico obviously does, and Michael obviously does. But when he got his chance in there, I was really happy with what he did.
Was he just the first inside linebacker up, or was he the one backing up Michael?
He was the one backing up Michael. You know, I think if Meek went down, we would have had Acho in there. We kind of have gotten to a point where we got, you know, kind of some depth there when we moved KC outside. So.
Having those guys all ready to step in, does that also speak to the position coaches keeping them prepared for those situations?
Yeah, I think it speaks to everybody. You know, I think, you know, it's to the person who's teaching them, but it's also to the student, you know, because it's you know, I think every coach is going to approach it the same way. You're always trying to get everybody prepared, but, you know, there are guys that actually kind of grasp that concept and really work it. You know, you can tell when their opportunity comes, do they take advantage of it? And those guys did, which is exciting about our depth, because we know we're going to get tested again as the season continues to wear on. So
at the end of the third quarter, there's 30 seconds left. It's not a second guess, so understand that. You could have let the quarter run out right before Riley's touchdown. Mm-hmm. Explain your philosophy on why you just keep on going at the pace that you go. And I understand what you did, just at the pace you go, rather than let the quarter run out and move forward.
Because I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. And I guess my answer is because we like scoring. You know, so it's the concept of either, you know, we're not in a point, and it wasn't a point in that time in that game when you were thinking about working the clock, but we also, you know, felt like we had a pretty good play dialed up. And one of the things about us is we can get into a rhythm, you know, and I think in the second half we got into a rhythm pretty good and we were moving. You know, and it was just trying to take advantage of what they are. I think a lot of times when you let the other team kind of catch their breath and get settled and then can kind of talk about things, you know, it's obviously we believe the pace we play at isn't what everybody can practice at. So, you know, we're trying to stay in that rhythm as long as it becomes, you know, we also knew when there's 9 minutes and 32 seconds to go and it's a 2-score game, now we get into another rhythm, you know, then we get into 4-minute rhythm. But at that point in time, you know, we weren't going to take our foot off the gas at that point. We knew we were going to need more points, so.
Just to clarify, you said 16 touchdowns, no interceptions. Why would we change?
Just my approach in terms of how we're doing things, and we're always gonna who's up, who's available. You know, and I've made this point before, but I've had guys go down on Friday. So why does it really matter who I say is the starter for the next Sunday's game?
People care. People are curious.
I'm gonna name you the starter. Yeah. You're starting this week, and I'm excited about it. Let's fire it up, write the notes, and let's go.
In training camp, in preseason, when you named Mike the starter.
Because of how he's going to get the reps with two healthy bodies. We don't have two healthy bodies right now.
But you also said at the time you wanted to make clear that he was the guy.
Because he had to get the reps. So if I didn't say anything, and Nick was like, I thought there was a competition, but Mike gets 10 snaps and I get 2 snaps, what's going on here? Right? So Nick's getting all the reps right now because Mike's not practicing. So
at some point, Mike.
Yeah, and when that day comes, we'll have a discussion. But that day's not here.
But when you say, why would we change, that indicates...
I was being sarcastic. Okay. I thought that would go over big in this crowd. Okay? A lot of times questions come in this way, there's a lot of sarcasm. You got to be able to catch and receive, you know what I'm saying? So when we don't have a quarterback deal because one of our quarterbacks is out banged up, if you walk out, I don't think it. Not nah, there may be a scoop for all you guys, but first team reps tomorrow. Nick's going to take him, okay, for Tuesday. So I've said that tongue in cheek all week long. Who's going to be our quarterback today? On Thursday, it's going to be. You know what I mean? So that's the way it's going to be. We don't have to make any decisions on anything because Mike's not going right now. So
you have been asked already about the home streak. So have some of the players. Is there a danger in your view that of either trying too much or carrying it around in their heads? You know, game day, trying too much to try to break it, carrying it around all week.
Nah, I don't think that's our mindset. Our mindset is to win every single game we play. So I don't think – I watch these guys on a weekly basis prepare, and I don't think they say, hey, we're away, let's do this, we're home, let's do this. They don't – they're not like this. It's a consistent group in their approach. What's the answer for us not winning at home and being 5-1 on the road? I don't know. If we knew it, you know – we'd replicate it. You know, do we have to take the buses and drive around for a half hour before we go to the stadium? I don't know. If that was the answer, we would do it. You know, we don't have that answer. But I think we do have an advantage. We love playing at home. Our fans are outstanding. They deserve it. And that's what our goal is right now. We got a one-game season, and it's against the Washington Redskins. It's at home, and we're excited to get back in the link and play in front of our fans.
So guys, it just doesn't mean no more staying at the airport Marriott.
Well, okay, we'll talk about that.
Thank you.